Okay, good evening everyone. My name is Yash. I work at Percona as a quality engineer, and recently I've been playing around with the GPUs, and this session will be regarding what I learned, how you can partition using MIG approach, and what things you can do with that. So it will include setting things up and understanding how to monitor MIG as well. So the overview of this session will be like, we will see what are the available sharing methods, then we will see how MIG works, what are the concepts of MIG that you should be aware of if you want to partition a GPU, and we will also explore a workload. So for video generation, what were the things that happened for MPS as well as MIG partitioning method. So yeah, then we will explore ways in which you can monitor the MIG instances, and then we will conclude with the suggestions. Okay, so what are the ways in which you can share a GPU? There are broadly two types, temporal and spatial. So you can share GPUs with time, like a process switches with other processes and uses a full GPU. So that's a time sharing. Then there is an MPS, where you have an entire GPU which is shared by processes within it. So they all work at the same time and they share the GPU resources. It is a software-based approach. And then there is MIG, the thing that we will be discussing today. So MIG is an actual isolation of your GPU. So if you have a large GPU, you can partition it in a strict isolated manner and run processes on it. So it's an hardware-based GPU isolation. What do we mean by hardware-based? It's not actually hardware lines. They are there, but you enable it using the MIG commands and all. So that's what we mean by the hardware-based, but it's controlled using the CLI. Okay, so this is a broad comparison, like how MIG is different compared to time slicing MPS. So GPU is split into isolated portions. There is no context switch overhead, because in time slicing, your entire process switches with other processes. So memory and compute is used. So there is a lot of switch between the processes. MPS is a shared pool. In there also, there is some context switching, so that is one more thing. But in MIG, your process is isolated completely, so it does not need any sharing, so there is no context switch within that particular process. Also, yeah, it's a fixed resource setup, so you don't have to worry about time, you don't have to worry about other resources hogging your particular resource. Also, there is some limitation. You can have 7 small size slices. In case of time slicing, that is like a single workload, so you cannot do much with that. You can quickly switch things. In MPS, you have many processes that can use a single GPU. But in MIG, you have 7 small slices. So if you have a workload that you want to distribute, you can have maximum 7, and based on the size of the workload, you can adjust that. So for strict isolation requirement, MIG is best, because it also guarantees quality of service. Now, what do we mean by quality of service? Your bandwidth, your SM utilization, they all are nearly guaranteed in MIG partition. There is certain, you know, things which are not completely 100% guaranteed. So, but most of the time it will work as per expectation. So, yeah. So how does MIG look like? So on the left hand side, you can see a GPU. It is partitioned into 7 GPU instances. So MIG partitions it into 7 instances. So this is an example of the smallest slice of a MIG instance. On the right hand side, you can see there is a diagram for NVIDIA A100 GPU. It has 8 slices of memory and 7 slices of compute. So your GPU is essentially divided into 2 parts. There is a GPU instance which is divided into 2 parts, GPU slices and GPU engines. So GPU slices consist of those memory slices in the above diagram and compute slices. GPU engines are a separate thing which is allotted to the GPU instance based on the portion that you partition. So that's another thing. Now each, you can see there are 8 memory slices and 7 compute slices. They are not using exactly 8 divisions or 7 divisions. It is almost that. We will see further how the slicing happens. Yeah, so the slice hierarchy is like this. You partition memory first. So you cut memory and then you assign compute to it. It's not the other way around. You cannot assign compute, or you cannot slice compute first and then assign memory. So this is a 2-level hierarchy process. So you have to strictly follow that steps. Okay, so what are the partitions that we can do? So on the left hand side, you can see the smallest partition. So we sliced 5 GB of memory, which is the smallest available partition in the A100 GPU. And then we allotted one compute to it. So it's the smallest compute with 1G, 5 GB as a nomenclature. There is also another one where you can share the memory pool with multiple compute instances. So in the middle one, the figure H, you can see that there is a huge chunk, around 20 GB of memory allocated to four compute instances. So each compute instance acts as a separate compute instance, but they share the memory pool. So that is one thing. And in last, you can have a large GPU instance where you can have large memory and large compute. So it's an isolated instance, but it's bigger compared to the smallest size, which is figure G. Okay, so what can happen? I mean, the smallest slice, you might have issues with your workload because they might require more resource. So it's not good for that. But for a smaller workload, it works really well because you can have seven of those instances. On the right hand side, you have a big instance, but it is not evenly distributed. So, what do we mean by not evenly utilized? Sorry, it is not evenly utilized. So if you have a workload which uses only 10 GB of memory and two computes, your 10 GB of memory and two computes are wasted on the side. So there is a potential unuse of the compute. On the middle one, where you can see there are multiple computes sharing a big memory chunk, you can have out of memory issues, like all the computes are competing for memory and eventually some processes collapse because of no memory. So what are the overhead in MIG? I mean, you are getting this full isolation, so there must be something you are compromising. So you compromise on exact compute divisions. So as I said earlier, it was around not exact 7 division. You can see in an example of H100, the smallest slice, which is one compute slice, has around 16 SMs. But overall GPU has around 132 SMs. So it's not exactly divided by 7. You are missing around 2 SMs. So that is one thing. And you can also see on the middle one, around 60 SMs are available for 3G and 40 GB, which is not exactly half of 132. It's just half of 120. So you're leaving around 12 SMs. So yeah, there are a couple of things that you compromise if you are trying to use MIG. So that is something you should, you know, keep into consideration. Then let us see how we can create a partition. I mean, we have access to a GPU and we list those available partitions using this command on the left hand side in figure L. It shows you what are the divisions that are available to you. Using the profile IDs, you can create MIG profiles. You can see on the steps that first of all you need to enable the MIG mode. GPUs are not enabled by default for MIG, so you have to enable it. You don't have to install any utilities for the new GPUs, they are by default installed. So you just have to enable this mode. Once the mode is enabled, you can create a GPU instance first for the particular GPU. So you can see from figure K that we have GPU 0 and we are using GPU 0 in the step 2 to create two compute instances for profile ID 9. So we get two 3G 40 GB profiles using step 2. So we created our GPU instance in the second step. Now we will create and assign compute instance to it. So here we are assigning the entire compute instance to it, which is supported by those two GPU instance. So yeah, the third step is that. But if you want to be even more specific and divide that GPU instance to and assign multiple compute instance to it, you can do that with the small step at the bottom. You add GPU ID and then you assign particular profiles that you want. Okay, you can also view the listed compute instance and GPU instance using the commands shown. Okay, so after we create what actually it looks like, using NVIDIA SMIL command, you can see that there are multiple MIG instances available. You can see their UUID, which we will use to run our process in the further steps. So this is how it looks. On the figure L, you can also see that there are no free instances available. So we are done with the maximum profile that we possibly can. So yeah, after creation, this command can help you in identifying which are available and which are not available for partitioning. Okay, so now let us look at the combinations. So there are multiple combinations. Apart from the overhead that we saw earlier, there are certain combinations of weak partitioning that can destroy and waste compute and memory. So we will look into that. And we will also see which combinations use all the available profile slices. So your GPU is at least used completely apart from the overhead. So yeah, this is one example. So you can see this is an H100 GPU with around 80 GB RAM. So we divided into two portions, three compute instance each and 40 GB each. So you can see there is one compute instance which is wasted, which is not allotted to anyone. So that is one thing that can happen. If you are partitioning things in certain ways, you are missing out on the compute capacity. So that's one thing. It's around 1/7 of your GPU slice, like 14% you are simply just wasting. You are not using it anywhere. So yeah, that. And yeah, for the memory, similar thing. So if you have 7 identical instances with small compute instances, you just have 10 GB of memory wasted. So you're simply using 1/7 of your GPU capacity. So yeah, you can see from here, this is taken from the documentation, certain combinations where compute misses out. So, and if you observe it properly, it's around 6. So whenever you're using the combination of 6, like 3 compute instances, 3 compute instance, 3, 2, 1 compute instance, 3, 1, 1, 1, you are missing out on one compute instance. And based on that, you are simply just wasting things. Okay, so which combinations don't leave any slices? These are the combinations which I have listed. You can also see in this table that 6 is missing. So it's not working out for that particular combination. Okay, so yeah, this is the same slide, so I will let it go. Okay, so how can we execute things on our MIG instance? We created a MIG instance, now we want to run our things on it. So you can see using the NVIDIA SMIL command, you can view multiple available instances. You use those UIDs after creating your MIG instance and then simply export it as a variable. So there is this CUDA visible devices variable where you assign your particular MIG device UUID and then run it. The highlighted one is for the GPU, it's not for the MIG device. So yeah. Okay, so B200 also has similar things like the one we saw earlier for H100. We are showing this because we will be showing performance of the video generation model on B200 and H200. So these are the partition methods which are available to us for B200. Okay, so for the good part, like video generation, we have around two models that we will be testing things. 14 billion one, which is a very large video generation model. It uses prompt, image and audio to generate a video. There is another one which is text to video generator, which is a smaller model of 5 billion parameter. Well, it's not small, but for video generation context, it's like a smaller one. So yeah, we have also kept and observed the peak and constant VRAM utilization for this. So they are mentioned over here. Okay, so what did we observe? Like the baseline compute is for H100 GPU. At the end, there is an observation where we simply run MIG instances on B200 and show it along with this. So as you can see, in certain workloads, it takes some time and you are only able to run one of them. While in other workloads, which is on B200, you are able to run multiple models in parallel. So I will show you a even detailed one in the next slide. So yeah. So how many images were we able to generate? Like using the MPS method, isolation was not guaranteed, but it worked. It worked around 2 instances and 3 in staggered manner. So we run one process, then we wait, then for 1 minute, then run another, then again we run the third one. So it worked in that manner. For the MIG part, we had guaranteed isolation for H100 and B200. So there was no need of, you know, doing things. But in the case of a larger GPU, B200, we might assume that we will have a lot more slices available. But that's not the case. The slices combination that we have are quite more than we require in terms of memory. So in case of 5 billion parameter model for B200 MIG, we are wasting around 10 GB of memory for generating one model in parallel. So that's certain combination where things don't work out. But there is one more thing. You cannot allow other work to be run on this unused GPU. But for the MPS part, you can do it. So there is cons to that. But isolation is completely guaranteed in the MIG process. You won't have any issues or any failures. So possible failures. So I tried running a variable workload where a model uses more memory and then stops. So it uses for like 5 seconds. It's a small time, but still it fails. So you can see that for variable workload, and if the variance is very high, even for a shorter time, this MIG partitioning is not good idea. So yeah, and also for the single GI instance and multiple CI instance, OOM occurs in the similar fashion. Okay, so now we have MIG setup and we understood what it is. How can we monitor the instances? So there are two ways. First is the NVIDIA SMI. If you want a quick CLI based setup, you can monitor it using watch and see. But there is another one, the DCGM exporter. This exporter collects metrics just like any other exporter, like Node exporter. And then you can combine it with Prometheus and Grafana. So yeah, this is the monitoring setup. What else can we do? Like, we can slice and create MIG, but we can also combine things together. Like, you can have a MIG instance which can run MPS daemon, because MPS is essentially a service and you simply enable it within a MIG instance and it will work flawlessly. But there is one more thing. You cannot run MIG after enabling MPS. You need to disable MPS and then you can create MIG. So that's one thing. Yeah, so conclusion, for high variance workloads, provision profiles with high buffer. So yeah, this will result in memory, unused memory and a loss of things, but still, it will provide isolation and will guaranteed work. Then for stable workloads, MIG works well. For high variance, use MPS whenever possible. Don't rely too much on MIG, because you will simply waste some resources which might be used by other processes. And for the large video generation models, H100 is not enough. You need B200 at least for generating at least 2 to 3 videos in parallel. So yeah, that's all. Thank you very much. Yeah, we have one question. I think it's because of the architecture. Yeah, can you repeat the question again? Yeah, so the question is that why do we have certain partitions and when can we, you know, expect certain resources to be utilized properly in the partitions? Well, I don't have a right answer, but it is because of the architecture. So I believe if NVIDIA improves on those GPU architecture, we might get even better profiles which are more dynamic. So yeah, hopefully if that happens. Yeah, we have another question. Are the profiles same for
all the NVIDIA GPUs, like H100, A100, B200, do they all have exactly the same MIG profile, or each GPU has its own alone MIG profile?
Yeah, combinations available. Okay, so the question is like, are these MIG profiles available for all GPUs same, or do different GPUs have different available profiles? Well, the answer is there are certain combinations which are similar for certain architectures. But for different architectures, they have different combinations available. So, yeah. Also, one more question. Yeah.
Okay. AMD.
I haven't explored AMD or Intel. I've worked with NVIDIA, hopefully. Okay, so we have 2 more questions. Yeah. Can you repeat, speak loudly a bit?
Did you try to run concurrently some workloads of different MIT partition? And if yes, did you experience any degradation in the performance compared to running the sequencer?
Yeah, so I tried generating videos on the different MIG partitions compared to the MPS. the MiG ones had bit delays. Now, the reason was it was not using complete SMs in these partitions, because certain SMs were left over, and these video generation models are SM intensive apart from the RAM requirement. So that caused around 2 to 3 minutes of delays in generating them. So I generated around 1 minute, not 1 minute, 40 minute, 40 seconds of videos, and it was taking delays. Okay, we have another question. So the question was like, do AMD have things? Yeah, they do. So one person from the audience explained what are the ways in which they can be partitioned. So thanks. Thank you for that. Okay, we have one more question.
Is there a framework to use multiple GPUs and then orchestrate various workloads?
Yeah, so the question is like, can we have multiple GPUs where you can provision workload using MIG partitions? Yes. It can only be done if you have 4x H100s available. So in this case, it's in single instance, but you can orchestrate your workload by different MIG partitions and enabling those partitions and running them.
So only the combination of 4 H100s?
No, there are many available out there, like 4x, H100, 8x also, so on. For B200 also, there are certain combinations. It depends on the provider. So I use Verda. So they are also providing combinations which are in smaller portions. So I use one combination. So yeah. Okay. So yeah.